countries that are actually more socially liberal than Canada have legislation on abortion. If I should someday become Prime Minister, I think it would be wise for the Parliament to have a proper debate on this issue and a vote. As a member of Parliament, it doesn't matter how difficult the issue is. You are elected to be a leader. And I don't think there's any issue in the House of Commons that involves justice issues, etc., that should be off limits. That includes abortion. I realize a lot of politicians don't like to deal with tough emotional issues, but if you don't, why are you asking people to trust you as a leader?
On the feature today, an exclusive interview with Conservative MP Brad Troost as he considers entering the federal Conservative leadership race. In the news, a new poll on Cassie and Molly's Law, more opposition to a pro-life billboard in BC, We Need a Law continues to engage on parental notification in Saskatchewan, and another move on the transgender issue in British Columbia.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
There's a new poll out on Cassie and Molly's Law. That's the private members' bill being put forward by Saskatchewan MP Kathy Wagenthal that would stiffen penalties against people convicted of knowingly harming or killing an unborn child in an assault on a pregnant woman. The poll by Nanos Research shows nearly 70% of Canadians would support a law that would make it a separate crime to harm or cause the death of a preborn child while harming the pregnant woman. Support among women is even higher at nearly 75%. The poll also shows most respondents want guarantees that the new law would not impact the right of women to access abortion, and most people believe such a law could be written. We've got a link up to the full details of that poll on the Lighthouse News homepage. Incidentally, the House of Commons online e-petition in support of the law closed last week. Final tally, just over 6,100 electronic signatures. They're still collecting names on the hard copy of that petition. In other news, remember that controversy over a pro-life billboard in BC? Earlier this summer, the Advertising Standards Council upheld the legitimacy of that billboard, which juxtaposes the notion that killing a puppy is cruelty while killing an unborn baby is choice. The opposition to that billboard continues, though. Now, there's been vandalism. Pro-Life Kelowna's Marlon Bartram.
We suffered our first bout of vandalism when someone splattered black paint on the sign, and that was about 6 weeks ago. The billboard company graciously cleaned that up and tried to keep the expense of cleaning that up as minimal as possible, so we're very much appreciative of that. However, about 2 weeks later, it was vandalized again with swastikas this time. So again, the billboard company cleaned that up for us, and the very next day was vandalized again. We're not really sure what's going to happen now, but it is cleaned up reasonably. But if it does get too damaged and too unsightly, then the billboard company will eventually say, listen, this just has to be replaced because it just looks too shoddy.
In response to the vandalism, Bartram appealed to the city of Kelowna for some support. He got an email from Mayor Colin Bazran last week.
It's just a brief email just saying that he doesn't condone vandalism and believes that any acts of vandalism are a tarnish on our community, including the damage to our billboard along Highway 97. And he then deflected a little bit, noting that the billboard is actually on West Bank First Nation land and that we ought to bring our concerns to their attention as well. So we're happy with his response. It's about as much as he can say about it.
The billboard is still scheduled to be up through the rest of the year. We Need a Law is continuing to engage people in Saskatchewan on the issue of parental notification. Executive Director Mike Schutten says they've got some interns going door to door in various parts of the province getting names on a petition.
This is a petition that our interns are just taking around into various neighborhoods as well as to community events, all with the sole purpose of really growing the grassroots of support that already exists for a parental consent law in Saskatchewan. It has a couple of benefits. More people are made aware that there is no parental consent mandated for abortion. And the other one is that we want to be able to show the government that various sectors of the province that they govern over support this by a wide, wide margin. We went out in our orientation days, and it was incredible, the support at the door. 80 to 90% of people who we spoke to signed the petition readily. At a community event in downtown Regina, we had between 60 and 70% of people signing it right on the spot. It makes sense to them. They're shocked that it's not already in place.
Schutten says the ultimate objective here is to show politicians that it's politically safe to consider passing a law like this.
Governments, whether they be local, provincial, or federal, when they have an idea of what they want to do, they want to be assured that they can do it without risking votes, essentially. They want to know that they can do this and still run in the next election campaign and gain a wide majority, as the Sask Party has done for two consecutive terms in Saskatchewan. And we've been doing that since we launched this campaign in 2014. But we really need to grow that groundswell of support well beyond, if you will, the churches and the traditional pro-life demographic. And that's what we're doing through this effort.
The five interns will be working on the campaign through the rest of summer. And the BC government announced last week it's speeding up adoption of a new law that would add protection for transgendered people to the BC Human Rights Code. Justice Minister Suzanne Anton.
We had planned to introduce changes on this issue next spring, but this summer session of the House gives us an opportunity to make these changes now and not wait.
Some cynics say the move will see the law passed just in time for the BC Liberals to be allowed to participate in the Vancouver Gay Pride Parade. The party has been banned from that parade for the past few years because of their refusal to pass this kind of law. Then again, the NDP member who's been sponsoring this as a private member's bill for several years says transgender people suffer a lot of violence in the workplace and in society at large, and this bill expressly provides some protection for them. On a related subject, ARPA is working on a policy paper on the transgender rights issue. That paper will be released later this summer. We hope to have ARPA lawyer Andre Schutten on the next edition of Lighthouse News to talk about the specifics of that policy document. Back with more after this.
Do you have a question about Canadian news or politics that you would like answered on air? We would love to hear from you. Go to arpacanada.ca/lighthousenews and click on Answering Machine to leave us a brief message. Please keep your message to 60 seconds or less. When leaving a message, please start with your name and where you're calling from. Visit arpacanada.ca/lighthousenews and tune in to hear answers to your questions and much more.
And we're back on the program. It's a pretty quiet summer for politics in Canada. The Americans, of course, have been busy with their conventions ahead of the presidential elections, but on this side of the border, there's really not much going on. The Conservative leadership race, for one thing, has been pretty quiet. There was one more entry a few weeks ago. Tony Clement announced he's going to take a run at it. The man considered one of the leading social conservatives in the party, Jason Kenney, announced earlier this month that he's bowing out of federal politics so he can focus on trying to reunite the right in Alberta. This has left a bit of a void in the leadership race in terms of a candidate that the social conservative wing of the party could support. One person who's been publicly musing about filling that void is Saskatchewan MP Brad Trost. He hasn't formally declared yet, but he's certainly thinking about it. Earlier this month, I reached Mr. Trost by telephone at his Saskatoon constituency office. I started the interview by asking him why he's considering a run and what his campaign might look like.
Well, the first reason I would do it is because I believe we need a conviction-based, broad-spectrum conservative. That would be a conservative that's conservative on fiscal issues, small government, low taxes, keep the government focused on a few major issues, and a social conservative, someone who believes the family is the central element of society and the government, instead of discouraging the traditional family, should support it. Whatever legislation that government does have to be involved in should be supportive of it, supportive of life from conception onward, values like that. So I think we need a broad spectrum conservative. I have a large range of issues I've dealt with in my years as a member of parliament, and that's what I think I could bring to the race if and when I decide to go.
There's a considerable variety of opinion within the party right now on the issues that are important to social conservatives. I mean, the convention removed the traditional definition of marriage from the policy document. But then on Canada Day, Ronna Ambrose and pretty much every other declared candidate for the leadership marched in the Toronto Gay Pride Parade. A lot of folks considered that in particular to be poking social conservatives in the eye with a stick. I know a lot of longtime party members, even former MPs and candidates and local EDA board members who just walked away. What do you say to those people, and how do you address that reality that's going on in the party right now?
Well, the first thing I would say to people who are leaving, if you're leaving, you're letting the other side of the argument win by default. Second thing I would say, you have to remember in any political party, while there's people with different views, there's a lot of people who actually don't have views, and you need to be there to talk to them and explain to them why your understanding and why your policy and what you believe is right. As for myself, I don't think there's any secret. I'm not going to be marching in any pride parade. I don't share their values. I don't believe in same-sex marriage. So why would I go to something like that? every Conservative MP has to make their own decision, but the Conservative Party in its entirety definitely does not endorse that. We have backed positions over the years, either all of caucus or nearly almost all of caucus, that would be contrary to the values that are promoted by the people who run these pride parades. So I think everyone should think very carefully about what they do and how they get involved in these issues.
But there seems to be a general slide into sort of social liberalism across the board. That's the perception. You know, I mean, even Stephen Harper, for all the years he was Prime Minister, said, we're not going to reopen the abortion debate. Let's say that you win the leadership and eventually go on to be Prime Minister. Are you going to take that same approach that Harper took on some of these issues and say, you know what, the courts have ruled, things are settled, we're not reopening this debate, or is it time for the notwithstanding clause?
No, I'll definitely have a different perspective than Stephen. Well, I respect him and respect him highly for what he accomplished as Prime Minister. I don't understand why Canada is the only democratic country in the world without an abortion law. There's an organization I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar with, We Need a Law. I think that sums it up fairly clearly. Countries that are actually more socially liberal than Canada have legislation on abortion. Now, if I should someday become Prime Minister, again, that's very remote possibility, but not totally impossible. If I should become Prime Minister someday, I think it would be wise for the Parliament to have a proper debate on this issue and a vote. How that would go, where it would go, would depend on who's elected, etc. But as a member of Parliament, it doesn't matter how difficult the issue is. You are elected to be a leader. And I don't think there's any issue in the House of Commons that involves justice issues, etc., that should be off limits. That includes abortion. I realize a lot of politicians don't like to deal with tough emotional issues, but if you don't, why are you asking people to trust you as a leader? You need to be able to do it. And there's something else I want to remind people. We had a vote that was roughly viewed as a proxy on whether or not Canada should have an abortion law. Majority of the Conservative MPs supported that motion. That was done by my former colleague, Stephen Woodworth. Even members of Parliament who are not pro-life, MPs who are pro-choice, agreed. So I think we can build a coalition and reach out to people who would not necessarily be 100% with us to try to get some things accomplished. So no, when I played football, kicker who punted on every play was not my favorite position.
Let's talk about some political strategies and realities here. Jason Kenney is now out of the race. He was sort of seen as the most high-profile social conservative with an eye on the leadership. Now that he's gone, who's left? I mean, I know Andrew Scheer from Regina might be interested, but is this a case of consolidating the social conservative vote? I mean, some estimates say 35 to 40% of the party identifies that way. So if you're the first social conservative to get into the race, and let's say for the sake of argument, you're the only one, you've got a pretty good base of votes to start from, but still not enough to take you over the top. How do you build a coalition that attracts enough other votes to win the leadership?
Well, I appreciate your confidence, but I'll say this. I don't think people are easy to put in any demographic. I think there's a lot of social conservatives in our party, and I think that would be one of my pitches. But I've also got a record. I know people are going to find this odd. My first campaign manager was a pro-choice former progressive conservative candidate. She still backs me to this day. So I've reached out with people. I've had libertarians, people, again, not socially conservative, who I've worked with before. So while my pitch as a clear social conservative will be involved if I get a leadership campaign going, I will also be talking about a broad spectrum of issues. I'm very much interested in tax policy. I have an economics degree along with my background as a geophysicist. I've worked on the International Trade Committee, International Affairs. I'm the party's Canada-US critic. So I've dealt with a large number of issues. And one thing I will also remind people, even conservatives who aren't social conservatives, most of them don't mind working with social conservatives. Otherwise, they wouldn't be a part of the Conservative Party. So just because you don't identify as something doesn't mean you're opposed to it. So you're going to be open to other ideas about privatizing the CBC, having a more efficient tax system, rebuilding our armed forces. All those things need to be talked about, and I think with those things, you build your coalition.
So how close are you to making a decision about a run?
One thing I will say, we are figuring out if we're going to get this thing going, and we're trying to gauge volunteers. So we do have an email set up at volunteers@bradtrost.com.
A date on a final decision?
It's coming fairly quickly. I have some family things I need to attend to. My wife's Asian, and we have to go to a sister-in-law's wedding there. But I think people will know definitively sometime this summer, and we'll probably make the official announcement not too long after that.
Mr. Trost, thank you very much. We're out of time.
Okay, good to talk with you.
You bet. Bye.
Bye.
And again, just a programming reminder. The summer production schedule for Lighthouse News continues. Next program due to be posted to the website on Tuesday, August 9th.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next month for another edition of Lighthouse News.